Welcome back to A People's Guide to Publishing. I am Joe Beal, the autistic publisher, founder, and CEO of Microcosm for 25 years and have sold millions of books. And I am the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, the book,
which
I wrote to distill what I learned in those 25 years so that you can recreate our successes.
I'm Ellie Blue. I'm the editorial and marketing director here at Microcosm Publishing and Distribution. We are an independent Midlist publishing company based in Portland, Oregon. We have about 13 employees at any given time. We publish 20 to 40 books a year, and we distribute thousands of books from other publishers.
And we have about 600 books in print.
We started this podcast so that we could share what we've learned. You know, the rising tide lifts all boats. And also so authors and readers know a little bit more about the behind the scenes of the publishing world.
This week, we are going to talk... Are we talking about data management? I've lost track now.
We could... You can choose. We can talk about data management, Midlist, or I don't remember the other one. Be like how we got to be the way we are, like how we got to be a successful Midlist publisher, and like basically go from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'll ask you questions.
Okay.
So for this episode, we're going to talk about Microcosm. We're going to talk about ourselves, and we're going to talk about how Joe, over 25 years, has grown the company from literally a bedroom operation to a successful Midlist publisher.
And now we publish romance books, so it does go full circle.
My God, you're right. From the bedroom to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So how did Microcosm get its start?
So I was a depressed, undiagnosed, autistic teenager who really needed something to do. And I had a job. I managed an Italian restaurant. So that meant that I got up at 4 p.m. every day to go to work. And all of my roommates worked 9 to 5, so I basically didn't see anybody ever, so I needed something to do in those hours between when I woke up and when I had to go to work, and that I was deeply involved in punk rock, so then I decided through one night's drunken haze that I would create the punk rock version of publishing, which I then did.
Can you tell us about the business? How did the business end of things work in those early years? Were you buying and distributing products? Were you publishing products?
In the very beginning, yeah, there was always a distribution component and a publishing component. So in the very beginning, yeah, I would buy things from other people, like today, where I would read reviews and then I would order something. Often, you know, most things were self-published or what we would call today micro-published, but that word did not exist yet at that time. Or the stuff, you know, I didn't have accounts with major publishers then. I would get those through other means, normally like remainder places or a friend taking them from work at a bookstore.
So you had zines that were self-published or that you would produce yourself?
Or books that were self-published, or, I mean, there was a lot of things. Like, I was pretty neck-deep in the what we would now call micro-publishing, and so that was a lot of what I focused on then, because it really felt like, you know, the advantage of being a teenager is that you have, like, a sort of pompousness that, like, you can do it better than the people that have done it for decades, and that you will somehow find answers that they didn't, and, you know, you do things that you just, like, wouldn't write. You do in a right mind, you know, as an adult.
So, like, it's definitely clear that you believed in it, but also, knowing you, I know the math must have worked out as well. Like, this must have been self-sustaining in a business sense in some way.
In the beginning, though, it was more of a hobby. I didn't really think of it in being more than that. You know, I mean, I definitely did the math sufficient enough to say, like, when I sell this, will it cover all associated costs, you know. But that was about it. I didn't really go beyond that.
What was the price range for a zine around that time?
Zines in the 90s could be anywhere from 25 cents to maybe $4 if it was really cool.
I mean, we still have some left over from that time where they offer that they'll their price as a trade for a vegan cookie.
Mm-hmm. And you'll see some where, I mean, I'd say the average at that time was probably a dollar, and then that morphed into $2, and then that somehow morphed into $10. So figure that out.
Now we have some zines that cost $20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some books that cost $4, so go figure.
But, you know, again, it wasn't meant to be. When I was starting out, you know, I was trying to solve the problem that, like, I needed a hobby and I needed a reason to stay alive, and it, like, more than accomplished the economics of both of those things.
So how did the transition go from being your hobby and your meaning and purpose to also being a business?
I started to go on tour, I think in 97 was the first time, and that introduced the new problem that I couldn't both run Microcosm, do the mail order, and be on tour in another city. And so, you know, I realized about that point that I would need other people. And so I got my friends involved. And then I realized that they didn't really maybe take it as seriously as I did. And, like, who knows why I took it seriously. But, so we did a, you know, we, being I at this time, did a, like, a deep assessment. And then that was when I started doing the numbers and saying, okay, like, what would it take for me to quit my job? Because it was about the same time that I hadn't met anybody that liked their job at that point in time in my life. And so I just kind of thought that having a job was to be miserable, and that was a sort of necessary miserable. So then, I guess that was the point where I did the math about maybe 1998. To say, okay, how much would I need to bring in every month to live on? How much am I making now? What do I need to change, you know? And that has been more or less consistent ever since then.
So what did you do differently in order to make that transition?
I didn't really change anything. I just started keeping track more of money coming and going, and I made a better effort at, you know, looking at purchasing, looking at, you know, how, what was selling. You know, I began incorporating data into decision making.
So that was one of your first big decisions, was just simply to pay attention and adjust what you did based on what you saw. What were kind of, can you walk us through the other sort of big transitions and big decision points that you made that have led us to where we are now?
So, the biggest one was that, and I really, this is like my cherished celebratory thing that I will hold on to forever. So, you know, by the time we had a handful of, I think, 5 titles or something, you know, I began shopping them to distributors because they would say that you would need to have at least 5 books in print. So I began approaching. And I probably did that when we had, like, 3 books or something. And then probably did it again when we had 5. And every single one of those distributors turned us down. And so, and, you know, and we would get amazing rejection letters that I still have that say things like, there is no market for the kind of work that you're producing. Which I just love, you know? It's because it's like, time has proven all of those letters to be inaccurate, and my pompous teenage self to be correct somehow. But that put me on a path to do, you know, what I now know is called vertical integration, which means managing and maintaining the distribution side of things, whereas most small presses, and mind you, Microcosm was a very small press at this time, would immediately outsource that to, you know, one of many distribution companies, you know, Consortium, PGW, you know, Independent Publishers Group, etc. And for, you know, whatever reason, that was where I excelled the most, was in building the infrastructure in-house for distributing our stuff. And so that was how we went from having a website, having a database, to having all aspects of our operation being managed by that website / database, to really being able to use that to find the data that I needed to make decisions. And that is also still more or less how we do things. And then the other major shift was that by 2009, we had our first book that sold over 100,000, Make Your Place. And that, and so that really shifted my own thinking about, you know, how big it could be and, you know, how to think about the press and, you know, that we could really make books for people that were sort of outside the subculture.
Tell me about obstacles that you've overcome in your career.
So there's been a few big ones. Getting refused by every distributor was formative because that taught me how to build infrastructure to do our own distribution, whereas most small presses would just sign with a distributor early on and then work with that distributor for either their entire career, or if not their entire career, then they would go to another distributor where they have that, you know, reliant relationship. But almost more important, you know, when I started paying myself in the 90s, I paid myself $400 a month, which felt like so much money because it was probably 20% of our monthly budget. And, you know, so it was a lot to rely upon. And then, you know, 10 years later, our budget had increased 1,000%. And then now our budget has increased another 1,000% from there, you know, or 100,000% from, you know, what it was 25 years ago. And so when you look at it that way, you know, the problem is then you're dealing in such theoretical giant numbers that it's really easy to get carried away with spending. And I see that happen a lot to presses. And so I've really had to tamp down, like, you know, what is an expense that creates value and what is an expense that is just an expense.
I'll try to summarize what you've said here. Dream big.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to the numbers and the data.
Yeah.
Keep on top of it and respond to it as it is, not as you hope it would be.
Yeah.
And as much self-distribution as you can do, you'll be setting yourself up for success. Are there any other words of wisdom that you've learned the hard way that you want to impart?
You really want to understand why somebody would be into what you do. I see a lot of presses and a lot of author pitches that are making the mistake of just assuming that a certain thing is mainstream and thus it will be of interest when you publish it. When in reality, you need to be true to your vision and you need to understand why people care in what you're doing. And so holding onto those values of what makes you special will really make you succeed.
And that really comes back to your very first point about having to have a passion for it and giving your life meaning.
Yeah.
Because if you don't care, why would anybody else?
Right. And that, you know, and you'll see this a lot with any kind of book publisher and or organization generally, where over time they start to make decisions that don't really make sense in the stated goals and mission of the organization. And we did that too, and really had to bring it back to, like, no, this is what we're about and who we are and why we do things this way.
So what is next? What is the next big thing for Microcosm?
So when we resumed self-distribution about 18 months ago, we immediately grew by 56% that first quarter. So that really let me know that that was the way to go.
And we're still exhausted.
And yeah, and it has continued to grow from there. Is that like more exhausting problem? But part of that is that a lot of the distributors went out of business over the last 10 years and the 10 years before that as well. And so that just created a lot of demand for that side of things. And so we've just had tremendous success with even, you know, distributing books for other presses as well as our own into all kinds of new channels.
So that's exciting to look forward to, is getting not just to play with our own books, but with more cool upstart independent books, maybe published by you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for joining us on A People's Guide to Publishing. I am the author of A People's Guide to Publishing, where I share the wisdom that I learned over the past 25 years of selling millions of books in a mere 416 pages.
And I'm Ellie Blue. I play with books all day here at Microcosm Publishing and Distribution, and sometimes with data, which we'll talk about next.
Till next week.
Thanks for joining us once again.
Please send your questions to podcast@microcosmpublishing.com so we can answer them on future episodes.
And please give us 5 stars on iTunes and everywhere else that podcasts are reviewed.
You can find us on the internet at microcosm.pub.
On Twitter at microcosm.
On Facebook at Microcosm Publishing.
On Instagram at microcosm_pub.
And here in Portland, Oregon on North Williams Avenue.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful week.